Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Today on The Grave Talks, we continue our conversation about spirit encounters with Jake Lanigan with Riverside Iowa Paranormal. But like right. You and I were just talking before we had started, because you recently took a trip to Ireland and just, you know, here you're just on vacation. You're not there to go to paranormal investigations or anything. You're just going as a tourist. And even then you're experiencing things.
Yeah. And sometimes it's experiencing a lot. Like in that example, I came around the corner and was watching a public hanging.
Can't imagine.
Another time I was in Paris. I was at the Palace in Versailles. I walked in and it's all tile floor. I was looking around at the paintings on the ceiling and the statuary and all of the ornate beauty that is in that building. And all of a sudden I start hearing the like 16th century, 18th century, whatever century it was. I start hearing those raised heel shoes going across the floor. And I'm like, not here, not now. And then all of a sudden it stopped.
I'm a tourist right now.
Right. And sometimes a lot of it's residual as well. Where for anyone who doesn't know the difference between residual and intelligent hauntings, residual, it's almost like a broken record where it just keeps playing through over and over and over. And they don't really interact with you in any way. They don't acknowledge you. It's like you're not even there. They're just kind of carrying on about their business. Another way I explain residual hauntings to people is it's almost more of like a memory than it is an actual haunting.
Yeah.
If there was someone, there was an old woman that lived in the house for, 60 years, passed away there. And every morning at 6 a.m., she would get up and do something. That memory can still stay. And so that's a residual haunting where you might hear 6 a.m. every morning, someone's doing something in the kitchen.
Or you're smelling the coffee at 6 a.m. every
right.
morning.
That's more of a residual, more of a memory.
Mm-hmm.
Intelligent hauntings, those are the ones that will talk to you when you ask questions. They're the ones that interact with you, that will sometimes tug on your clothes, touch you, things like that. The intelligent are the interactive. So intelligent hauntings are the interactive hauntings. And sometimes I go places, even on vacation, and a lot of it ends up being residual. And in that case, I just kind of have to let it go and let it do its thing and just let it play through. And then it's done. And it's usually pretty short-lived, few minutes tops. The intelligent haunting, that's a different story. Those are the ones where you have to kind of set those boundaries and say, hey, listen, I'm not doing this right now. I need you to back off. And you're not being rude. You're being firm and saying, I can't do this right now. I need you to leave me alone. Come back another time.
It's like that coworker. It's like, no, we're not having that conversation right now. I need to get this project done.
Right.
Go back
right.
to your office. We'll talk about it later.
Right.
Now,
exactly.
It's funny to me because the way you talk about this is very matter of fact. So for someone like me who doesn't have this ability, I would find it rather terrifying. I think, to just see somebody walk through my wall. Do you ever find a situation where it is rather terrifying for you, or have you been able to pretty much, it's been happening so long that you're used to it?
I will be the first to tell you, I am a chicken shit.
Oh, you don't sound like one, Jake.
There are places where I am the jumpiest person in the world. And then there are places where, and it's very situation dependent. Sometimes I don't know what gets into me. And all of a sudden I'm like King Kong, king of the world. Like I'm ready to take on anyone. And then there are other times where I'm like, you're not alive. Leave me alone. I'm hiding in my corner. And so it's interesting that sometimes even within a span of 10 minutes, you'll see both. Mm. And I don't know what triggers one versus the other, but there are definitely times where I see things, and it could be as mundane as, you know, watching someone knock on a door or watching someone walk through the wall or something just really casual. And I will still get scared because my brain is, because I'm very analytical in the way that I think. And so my brain is trying to process and it's trying to analyze. And when it can't reach a conclusion, that's when I'm like, I don't know what to do. This is all wrong. Something's going on. What do I do? And so that's where a lot of my fear will come from a lot of the time. But that's not to say that there aren't still times where at the beginning, it seems all fine and good. And then all of a sudden, something happens and I'm the first one out of the room. There's a place in Brumley, Missouri that we're going to have hopefully some events coming up in the next year or so. And we've done a few there in the past. The Castle House.
Oh, yeah. And I did an episode about that.
We've done some things there. And there's a part of the property where they've done some excavation and found mm-hmm. like Civil War era buttons and remnants of a Civil War camp. And I was down in that area with a couple of people and I was watching, and there's kind of a side path. So I was looking up the main path up the hill to the house. And then there's another kind of side path that goes off of that. And I'm watching this guy. He was a Confederate soldier, and he's some way down the path, and he's looking at me, I'm looking at him, I'm trying to figure out, does he see me? Is he residual? What's going on with him? And all of a sudden, I assume he's a general. I think that's the right rank for what I saw. But all of a sudden, because he had a sword on his hip, he drew that sword and all of a sudden started running at me.
Oh.
And again, maybe that was residual and I just happened to be standing in the way.
In the wrong place. Yeah.
But I saw that and I was like, nope, I'm done. I'm out. I looked at the people that were with me. I said, y'all are welcome to continue down here. I said, but I need to go be elsewhere. I need to take a break because I can't handle that. When people are running at you with a sword,
yeah,
you know, what do you do? You know, your fight or flight takes over. That happens a lot on investigations, that fight or flight piece, where there are times, I was just actually in Indiana partnering up at the Monroe House, also known as mm-hmm. the Demon House that they call that? I know there's a lot of houses they call the Demon House.
Right.
It's the Monroe House in Indiana. And it was myself, Michelle's daughter, who runs the Indiana chapter. Her name is Brittany. She also has abilities. And then another person that was there with us. We were upstairs at the Monroe House, and we were in this one particular room. And something, I couldn't even tell you what happened anymore. I think I saw someone walk in or somebody did something. And the three of us pretty much backed ourselves into a corner as we're watching people walk in to this room. And when you're in a situation like that, where you have spirits walking in, you do get to that point where you're like, your body just kind of freezes and you're like, oh my God, what do I do? This is happening. And that was very much a moment of real fear that I was experiencing, where I'm pretty sure I bruised Brittany's arm. I was holding on to her arm so hard. And people think, well, you do this a lot. Shouldn't you like not be scared? And I would say, when you get to the point where you're no longer at least apprehensive or a little bit nervous, then it might be time to think about being done, because that's when you start being careless and
That
that's
makes
when
sense.
people can really get hurt.
Yes. And I think too, you're encountering spirits that might not have been good people on Earth. You know, just
Right.
like you could go to a party and get super bad vibes off somebody, or you might know somebody who has done something horrible in their life. Or I mean, I live a couple miles from where BTK lived. You know, so you encounter him in real life, and you could have gotten a really bad vibe from him. Those people could exist in the afterlife. And so some of the spirits you would encounter, I would think they're not all sunshine and roses and unicorns.
Well, and that's a conversation that Michelle has had a couple times recently, and I've been there and participating in some of those conversations where we have to explain to people, if they were a bad person in life, why would that magically
It
change
wouldn't
just because
change.
now they're on the other side?
Because you're a bad person in life, they're not going to rest in peace.
Right. Now, that's not to say that people can't still regret after the
I
things
would
that they've done.
like to think they do.
But that's not, at least what I've encountered thus far, that is not the trend. It's usually, if they were bad in life, they're not really much better in death.
So fascinating. And you know, I have to tell you, I love conversations like this, because this conversation did not go the way I had planned tonight. It was like, and I still want to talk about a couple locations, but like I just find your story so fascinating about what it's like to be you and have to deal with that. And especially, you know, with what you do by doing paranormal investigations and doing private investigations in homes, you are opening yourself up to that, but you also are opening yourself up to that just by going on vacation. You know, it's.
And that's where protection really comes in and into play. Some people believe in the power of different stones and different minerals, and some people don't believe in that. And that's okay. But we all have our things that serve as kind of our safety blanket. We all have our things that we go to make us feel not scared, or to make us feel comfortable. And those are the things that we always tell people, you've got to find what those are, whatever that may be. For some people, someone who is very religious, maybe for them, that's their crucifix or their rosary or their Bible or some other important artifact that is important to them. Maybe it's their grandmother's necklace. Whatever that may be, we tell people, if that makes you feel comfortable and makes you feel protected, bring it, take it with you.
Because
And
I could see, just because somebody says, here, this stone really helps for protection, do I 100% believe the stone helps me more than my grandmother's crucifix?
right.
You know what I'm saying? So I believe that has more value to me.
Right. And that's really what it comes down to, is people can say, yeah, this is for protection. But if you have something else that is more, that makes you feel more protected, then use that instead.
Now, when you go out to locations, obviously you experience, and I keep thinking about paranormal investigations, but I mean, really, for you, anywhere you go, I would think you would have, when you are experiencing these things, you know, maybe increased risk of things coming home with you. Do you have something you repeat to yourself, a mantra, or do you say, you know what, I'm walking in my house, you all stay here, or I'm walking out of your house, you're here, I'm gone?
That's exactly what I do. And we tell people when we go on our, and when we do our events and go on our investigations, that what you do, and it, again, it's setting that boundary where you, as you're leaving, you face the location and you say something along the lines of, and it doesn't have to be exactly the same, but something along the lines of, you are not allowed to come with me. You must stay here. You are not allowed to follow me. I have nothing for you and you have nothing for me. And then when you've said whatever it is that you feel you need to say at that point, you keep walking and do not turn around. Do not look back. Just keep moving forward, get in your car and drive off.
I first reached out to you guys because I came across a venue, the Victorian View venue in Washington, Iowa. And there's several locations in Washington, Iowa that seem to be haunted. And so they gave me your name. And so that's how you and I ended up starting to talk about it. Because I saw a picture of the house, and I don't know, my cat keeps meowing. I'm sorry if you hear him. He's got a loud voice. But so I just saw a picture of this house, and I'm like, I want to talk to somebody about this house. I just had this weird, like, I want to talk. This is how I came to you guys. But I can't find any information on the house, like, other than it was built in, it says 1895. That's all I know about it and where it's located. And you've been there to investigate, right?
Yeah, a few times. Yep.
So what do you think about that, the place? What have you kind of encountered there? And you do, with Riverside Iowa Paranormal, you do investigations at the Victorian View venue.
Yes. Yep. And so originally, Michelle, she actually works there in Washington. And the owner had reached out. Was saying there was some stuff going on, and she reached out to several paranormal groups kind of in the area or somewhere that, you know, they weren't too far away, you know, within the state, within driving distance. And so Michelle asked me if I would go with her to meet the owner and kind of just do a walkthrough and kind of see what the owner really is looking for. And so we did, and we walked to, we parked across the street. There's a couple churches nearby. And so we parked across the street in one of the church parking lots. And we walked by, and Michelle saw someone in the window. And she looked at me and she goes, did you see that guy in the window? And I said, no. I said, I'm too busy looking at all the people in the yard. And there's a fenced in area. And so we met with the owner. She told us a little bit about kind of why she reached out to us. It's now an Airbnb, and so there are rooms, and we do offer those rooms as a place to stay when we do our events there. That's kind of the VIP package where you get a room and you get a ticket for the investigation. And so she reached out because a lot of these people from, during the Airbnb would say, hey, who else was in the house with us? We thought we had it to ourselves for the weekend. And she said, well, you do. Why do you ask? And they said, because we keep seeing this guy walking up and down the hall in the middle of the night. And so many people had been saying that they're seeing this. And it was interesting because the owner said when her family lived there, the family has fostered numerous children, and they've actually ended up adopting quite a few of those that they fostered. And some of those kids would talk about seeing a man standing at the foot of their bed in their bedroom while they were living in the house. And so they left, opened it up as an Airbnb, and there were some people that were essentially saying, yeah, we're seeing the same things. She originally thought when her kids were saying it that maybe it was something with her kids. And so she thought taking them out of that situation, things would die down. But instead, she was getting more and more reports from people that were staying there. So she called us over. We did a walkthrough. She gave us a tour of the house, and you know, she shared with us that she would be interested in partnering up and doing some events. And we said, you know, we think we can make this work for you. And that's where we went from that point. But we are in the same boat as you. We've tried to find things about the location, and we just can't find anything. And there's a friend of mine, and I sort of mentioned this, and so I'm really excited to finally be able to share this with you. A friend of mine grew up in that area, and there is a man who used to was a history teacher down there, and he used to do kind of walking tours with his students, and part of that walking tour was walking by that Victorian View home. And at the time, it was a private residence. There was a family that had lived there before the current owner for like 50 years, I think was how long they lived in that house. And so it was privately owned. You couldn't really go in there as a result of that. But he was talking about that property before the house was built. That property was used as Confederate troops were moving through. That was that area, maybe not that exact property, but that area was a camping area, was a stopping area. And around that property is where they used to bury the soldiers who couldn't move on with them.
Oh, that's interesting.
And there was also a homestead that was on that property at one point. I don't know when it was there, but there was another house that was on that property that, and I don't know if this has been confirmed or not. I can't remember, but I know something that comes up just about every time we do our investigation there is something about this other house. And that is documented, that there really was another house there. But something keeps coming up about that house having burned down, or something about a fire at that location. And so other than that, we really don't know anything about the place. We know Washington has some Underground Railroad places that have gone through there. And that actually, it's super interesting. One of the scariest moments that's happened. Michelle's daughter, Brittany, had never been to the Victorian View. So we were doing a private thing just so that she could see it, because she was going to be helping out with something we were going to be doing there in the coming weeks. And she wanted to see it beforehand. And she'd heard a lot of stories of our experiences, things we've gotten, and all that sort of stuff. And so she wanted to check it out for herself. And it was just the four of us. And my partner is a music teacher, and he's an elementary music teacher. And so he used to, with his students, they would sing the song Follow the Drinking Gourd. And some of the history of that song is that it was sang in the fields. The slaves would sing it in the fields because the lyrics are a map to the Underground Railroad. And so historically, the slaves would sing that in the fields. So essentially, they were giving each other the map without the masters knowing. And so I said, you know what? If there's ties to the Underground Railroad in this place, I was like, let's play it. So I pulled it up on my phone on YouTube, and I was playing it. All four of us, we all kind of looked at each other about halfway through, and we were like, something's not right. You could feel the energy in the house shift. And it shifted in a not so good way. So I turned it off. And we all kind of dispersed. We're going to kind of take a little bit of a break. Michelle was digging through her purse for something. Brittany and Michelle's son, Tristan, they were standing in the middle of the kitchen area. And I was looking up the back. I believe it's a servant's staircase that leads up to the laundry room. And I was looking up that staircase. And all four of us heard with our own ears so clearly that we actually thought someone had broken in through the front door. We heard this deep male voice scream, "Get out." And Michelle heard it in her ear. All the rest of us heard it. We thought someone had actually was in the house with us. I whipped around after I heard that. Michelle is flying through the air, moving through the kitchen, and Brittany is ex-military. So she scooped Tristan up in her arms and she's running him out the back door. But then we're seeing the people out in the yard. So Michelle yells, well, first she says, get out of the house. And then we're all leaving the house. And then we see the people in the yard and she says, get in the house. And so Brittany turns on her heels to come back in the house. And poor Tristan is being thrown around like a rag doll. And it was one of those moments where we're like, what do we do? Because again, we thought it was a real person in the house. And we were like, what's scarier, this real person in the house or the dead people
exactly,
out in the yard?
Exactly, yes.
And so we really had that moment where we thought to ourselves, where do we go? And things calmed down and it all ended up being okay. But we did have that moment where we thought to ourselves, we don't know how to handle this. And sometimes it's the living people that are scarier than the dead people.
Well, and it could have been somebody who is breaking in. And I mean, there are serial killers out there. You know,
we were worried for our true actual physical safety, mm-hmm. that it could have been someone that maybe they had a weapon of some sort and they broke in. That's what we were worried about. And so we did a quick run through the house, didn't see anyone. And we were like, okay. So that just happened. And it was so bizarre that it happened right after we were all playing that song, Follow the Drinking Gourd. And then about halfway through, we were all like, something's not right here. And so we stopped it. And then it was probably 2 minutes after we stopped it that happened.
It almost feels like it was someone who was more of a slave holder or someone.
That's what we were wondering. That's what we're thinking.
You know, someone who was looking for them. Oh. So, yeah,
it was interesting. But same thing. We don't know a lot about the property. We know things about the town itself, but not necessarily so much about the property.
Mm-hmm.
And so that makes it hard for people who do have abilities because there's nothing to check and get that validation from.
Now, do you do investigations there on a regular basis where people can join you?
It was on a regular basis for a while. I am not entirely sure why we stopped doing that on quite a regular basis. It used to be once a month, minus a few months, like during school graduations and some holidays and things like that. But generally, it was, I want to say, the last Saturday of the month for a while. And then things slowed down. People got busy. We just didn't have the people to do it as often there. But we do, that is part of our Ghosts of Washington that we're doing in October. It'll be the second year in a row that we've done that. And so that will be one of the places that we're featuring there.
And that would be a really cool event because it's not just the Victorian View. There's also a couple other locations you can go to.
Right. One of which that we had last year, I'm assuming we have the same three places this year, but I don't know for sure. I know last year the three locations were the Victorian View. It was the Blair House there in Washington and the State Theater. And the Blair House and State Theater are basically right across the street from each other. And the theater is interesting because it's actually in the Guinness Book of World Records as the longest continuously running theater. So it opened in 1893, I believe, and showed its very first silent film in 1897. And it's been continuously showing movies since 1897.
That's amazing. You know, so all of those old theaters shut down at some point because people weren't coming or whatever. And then they had to raise money to rebuild these beautiful theaters. And it's so cool. That one has been going this whole time.
Yeah. And it's cool. You walk in. It's a single screen movie theater. And essentially when you walk in, you're in the auditorium from the original Opera House. And you can tell it was a place that started off with stage theater because they have a couple of things that almost look like house windows on each side of the screen or the stage. And it's really cool because when we do events there and when we do stuff with the Ghosts of Washington there, we get to take people places where they wouldn't normally get to go. Backstage, they have the old changing rooms. And so we take people up into the changing rooms. We go backstage. We go into the projection room. So we get to people get to go and see parts of the theater they wouldn't normally get to see, like down in the basement where the orchestra would have entered to go into the orchestra pit for a show. So they get to see some really cool parts that they wouldn't otherwise get to see.
And what is the Blair House like? Have you been in there? Because if you look at it, it's like this old brick kind of Victorian.
Yep.
It looks like you would drive by that house and go, oh, that one's haunted. You know, it looks like that.
Yes. I've only been there once, but and I don't know much about the property, but that one is a little bit of a puzzle to me just because there's so much randomness that I've gotten, and it's randomness that comes through with my abilities. There have been a few people that have seen things in the windows from the outside and things like that, but in terms of interacting with the equipment, we were able to get a few things maybe to go, but they just, for whatever reason, that particular night I was there, they really weren't interested in interacting with the equipment, which kind of blew my mind because I'm seeing them stand right in front of me and they're interacting. They're responding to what I'm saying, but then they won't interact with any of the equipment.
Has it been investigated very much? Is it a place that's kind of newer? Do you think maybe they're like, we don't even know what that is? What do you want us to do with that?
I don't know that it's been investigated very much. I don't believe it has been. I believe this, I don't even know what the city uses it for, but the city uses it for something. And so as far as I know, when we were there with Ghosts of Washington last year, I believe that was the first real investigation that had happened there. I believe, but I could be wrong.
You would be such an interesting person to go on one, and your whole team, like y'all have these cool abilities. Oh, yeah. You know, it would be really fun to do that. Do you have information on that on your website?
Yes. Okay. So if you go to RiversideIowaParanormal.org, on the home screen, you should see a little button somewhere that says book now. And so if you click on that, it will take you to the ticketing platform that we use. And you can see all of our events and you pick a date. And if there's an event that day, that will pop up with an option for you to buy tickets. And then you purchase tickets through there and you're set and ready to go.
And I also saw you've got some upcoming events. And if somebody's listening to this a year from now, still go to the website because there will be more upcoming events. But like Absolutely. The Asher Walton House, Broadhead Manor, and Edinburgh Yep. Manor, that you have Yep. upcoming investigations and events there.
So Asher Walton is in Indiana. Actually.
Okay.
So the Indiana crew will be running that one. And I believe that is the same night as our next Broadhead Manor, which is September 14th. And Broadhead is in Wisconsin. It's an old school. And those are both September 14th. At Broadhead Manor, we have a couple of special guests coming in from the East Coast. It's David Childers and Alora Huey. And so they're flying in from the East Coast, and they're going to help us out with that one. And then the Edinburgh Manor, that is on October 5th. And that one is actually a really special investigation because we partner with Iowa City Pride for that to raise money for their Pride Festival every June.
I love that.
So that one's a fundraiser. Yep.
That's fantastic.
We have a special guest coming in from the East Coast actually is known for doing paranormal investigations in drag.
Oh, how fun. I would love that so much. I need to go to this.
So that's Monique Toussoun. And Monique is going to be our special guest this year. And she'll be investigating with us in drag.
Oh my God. I would love to do that. And you also have a Facebook page, and I will put on wherever you're listening to this in the show notes, I'll have a link and you can just click on that link super easy. Mm-hmm. Jake, this was so much fun. I absolutely loved this conversation. So I just want to thank you so much for taking all the time to chat with me tonight. This was awesome.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. It was my pleasure.
And that wraps up our conversation with Jake Lanigan about spirit encounters. For more information about Riverside Iowa Paranormal, visit their website at riversideiowaparanormal.org or find them on Facebook. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advanced episodes, everything commercial free, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts where you can try it for 3 days free. Or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks and find everything there. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you very much for listening.